Hey ladies, it's me, and I am very excited to dive in to chapter 5 in Fervent, and we are going to go over your past. And this particular chapter really, really, really spoke to me, and I learned a lot, so I'm really excited to dive right in. I hope you ladies, as we go through Fervent, that you're taking every chapter seriously, but not just reading it and watching these videos and maybe writing a couple of things down or writing in your prayer cards in the back or your prayer journal. I really hope that you are putting action behind each and every chapter and that you are praying specific, intentional prayers of what that you've learned, and that you're praying scripture, and that you're learning different ways to pray, and that you are learning how to recognize the enemy and his schemes that he's trying to do in your life, and you are staying focused on the most important thing, and that is your identity in Christ and you growing your relationship with him. And so let's dive right in. So of course, I always read her intro because it's always amazing. So chapter 5 on page 93, she says this: "If I were your enemy, I would constantly remind you of your past mistakes and poor choices. I would want to keep you burdened by shame and guilt in hopes that you'll feel incapacitated by many failings and see no point in even trying again. I'd work to convince you that you've had your chance and you've blown it, that your God may be able to forgive some people for some things, but not for you, not for this." And I don't know where you're at, and I don't know what your journey has been up until now. I can share with you my experience, and I can share with you things that my family has gone through, maybe their experience, but I don't know where you're at when it comes to your past. So as I go through this really quickly, I really want to do one thing. I just really want you maybe to write on your journal, or if you've got a piece of paper or something, I want you to write this down. I want you to write, "It's time." And there's going to be a reason for that, but just write that at the top. It's time. Okay. And then as we go through this, we're going to tie that in. So let's just get started. Like I said, I don't know where you're at. I don't know what your past has been. So I'm just going to go ahead and say it. It really doesn't matter what your past has been, because today is April 20th. When you watch this video, it may be the 21st or 22nd or whichever day that you watch this video. You can make a choice. You can make your choice for your future to look different than your past. Well, how do you define past? Well, to me, my past was yesterday. My past was this morning. My past was lunchtime. I can't change those things. I'm in the present right now. So what matters is how I live my life right now and how I'm going to live that tomorrow and the choices that I make tomorrow. And so as she starts in this and talks about your past, she reminds us of a couple of key points that the enemy tries to do. The enemy uses your forgiven past to poke holes in your future. You see, here's the deal. Sometimes we go into this life thinking we have to be perfect. And then the second we fail, it's like this downward spiral of, oh my goodness, I've done this or I've done that. God can't forgive that. Or it's too big, or I've hurt too many people, or I messed up too much in my life to be forgiven. See, you, that's the enemy. Here's the deal. When Jesus died on that cross and he rose again in 3 days, he did that for me. He did that for you. He did that for every single person on this earth. And the reality is, excuse me, the reality is, we aren't perfect. You see, Jesus was the only person that walked this earth that was perfect. He's the only one that was raised from the dead. He's the only perfect thing that's ever walked from here. So let me ask you a question. If Jesus has been the only perfect person, we're obviously not going to be perfect. We're obviously going to sin. So we can't capture Jesus's grace if there wasn't sin. So without sin, there would be no need for grace. Without sin, there would be no need for Jesus to die on the cross and raise again, right? And so when we look at our past, sometimes, you know, the enemy makes us feel like God can't forgive us of those, and he just wants to poke those holes. You know, as she says in page 94, some of his best opportunities to sabotage our potential comes from here. Because what happens is we wake up in the morning and we're thinking about yesterday, or we're thinking about last week, or we're thinking about 5 years ago, and we are not walking forward, and we are not walking in what God calls us to that day or for our life, because we're too focused on our past mistakes. The first question I have there, is there anything in your life right now that the enemy keeps putting on repeat? You know, like Groundhog Day. Groundhog Day. I can't stand that movie. It stressed me out. I'm like, if I have to watch this, like, I know what's going to happen. You know, it just, like, over and over the same thing, and you just, you get frustrated, and you get bored, and you just wonder if anything is just going to change, if you're going to have extra hope or whatever. So the reality is this. You got to recognize those things that the enemy keeps putting in your life that is stopping you from moving forward. And I want you to turn to page 95. And I love when she says this. Instead of living with assurance, we become bombarded with shame. Instead of celebrating God's grace, we feel undercut by continual guilt over the same old things. Instead of experiencing the ongoing residual blessings of being regenerated by his Holy Spirit, all things are new, we're caught up in the spin cycle of ceaseless regrets. And here's the deal. I don't know your past. I don't know that. I will tell you this, that when Jesus chose his 12 disciples, you know, in the Bible, and I'll type on the page the different scriptures that you can go through where he goes through when he called the disciples to follow him and asked them to follow him. He did not pick perfect men. Actually, he picked men like Paul, who killed people that believed in Jesus. He literally murdered and hunted people down if they believed in Jesus. Or follow Jesus. Okay. So he was chosen as one of the disciples of Jesus. Now, here's the deal. I didn't murder anybody. You know, my sins, I look at my sins and I'm thinking, wow, Jesus completely transformed Paul's heart, his mind, and he changed everything about his life to where it reflected Jesus. And not Paul. He even changed his name, because when he was a murderer, his actual name was Saul. And so when Jesus transformed him, he changed his name to Paul. And he was a new person. He was a new creature. And that didn't happen through one prayer, or that didn't happen through one thing. And she says on here, you know, even those unchangeable things, you know, we think, you know, one prayer is not going to wipe that away. We can't pretend that it didn't happen. You know, it doesn't remove every natural and logical consequence from playing itself out. But in Job 38:11, it says, thus far you shall come, but no farther. Here's why. He is giving us a prayer to raise us up above the sea level of Satan's assault from your past. You ask yourself, why did Jesus choose those disciples? Why was it those 12 men? Was it because, you know, they were holier than thou? No, they were very sinful. Some of them were selfish. Some of them ended up, you know, one ended up completely betraying them. A lot of them rejected him as he was getting beaten. Paul was one of those. So ask yourself, if Jesus would, why did he choose those 12 disciples? Jesus, regardless if it was those 12 or he picked another 12, it didn't matter. He was never going to find a perfect man because he was the only perfect man. But one reason those 12 disciples, what they chose to be, they chose to be obedient. They chose to say yes. They chose to say, when Jesus said, come with me, they chose to leave their past behind. They left their nets at the boat and they left to follow Jesus. Okay? So ask yourself this. Have you made the decision to leave the nets and say, yes, I will follow Jesus? Will it be perfect? No. Will the enemy try to come into your life? Yes. Will you choose to allow Jesus' Holy Spirit to transform your life to where you can rise above the sea levels of Satan's enemies and his schemes to put on repeat all of the mistakes that you made in your past. You see, those disciples that Jesus chose, Jesus knew they were going to get the job done. They were hard workers, you know, fishermen. And you know, you look at the people that he chose, they were hard workers. They were driven. They each had specific gifts. So do you. So ask yourself, are you going to follow him? Are you going to be obedient to the call and overcome and leave the nets and leave the past behind to completely let Jesus to transform your life to follow him? Okay. Are you going to do that? So I want you to look at question number two. Do you believe that God can make all things new, that he can transform your life? On page 97, I love kind of that moment that Priscilla had, that he does make all things new. When she says a little prayer that God clearly spoke to her and said, Priscilla, wipe your tears away. That road is behind you. I have other roads in store for you in the future. Roads I've been preparing for you. Just as you pass this exit of shame, so you now are beyond the pain that accompanied it, I make all things new. You see, she was passing a road that brought up the past, that brought up those emotions, that brought up guilt and shame and probably disgust in her life from the choices that she made. And as she was passing by the exit, the Lord transformed her. And I believe that the Lord could have transformed her years before then, but she was listening. She was being obedient, and the Lord reminded her that you make all things new. So I'm going to give you an analogy, kind of like the disciples, and you know I love visuals. So it's kind of like, you know, I envision Priscilla driving down the road, right? And she is moving forward, and she knows in her heart and mind that she's about to pass something that's going to remind her of something that was hurtful, that's going to remind her of her mistakes and her weakness in her life. And she knows that it's coming. So your heart starts to beat fast. You're squeezing on to the, you know, to the wheel, and you're just looking straight. And you know it's coming, and you know you're going to pass it, and you have a decision to make. You see, the front windshield is huge, right? When you're driving a car, the front windshield, you can see everything. But when you need to look behind you, there's a tiny little mirror on the side that you look to look. You see, it's a tiny little mirror. And it's not meant to look at and to stare at. Because the second you look at your mirror just to look back, if you stare at that mirror longer than just a few seconds or a few minutes, you are going to swerve off the road and there's going to be an accident. You see, it's only there just to glance if you need to. You got to move forward. You've got to look out the windshield to be able to move forward in your life. You can glance because the reality is things in our past and our mistakes and our weaknesses, those happened. We can't ignore those things. So they're there. But they're only there because they are our past. And it's very small compared to what the Lord has in the big windshield. They're very small to compare of you actually moving forward and focusing on staying in your lane. You see, part of your past is maybe comparing to someone else or not measuring up or other people's opinions, but you have to stay in your own lane. You see, God has a very specific plan for your life, so specific that he knows the amount of hair that you have on your head. Today, I found a bunch of white hair. You see, I don't turn gray, I turn white. He knows how many white hairs I found today. He's that specific. So if he knows the amount of hair that you have, if he knows all he created us, he knows everything. And if he's that specific with that, don't you think he's very specific with how we should spend our days? You see, God's in the small details. He's not just in the big decisions we make in life, or do I move into this house? Do I marry this person? Do I have this baby? Do I take this job? Yes, he's in those things, but what about those small things? When you wake up in the morning and for some reason you've got this random person in your head and you think, I don't know, I just feel like I should shoot her a text and just tell her I'm thinking about her, or give her a call and tell her I love her. Those little small, Jesus is in those small obedient steps. You know, I have a really close friend and she's probably going to watch this video, And we met through a little writing group that we're in, and we've developed a relationship through Facebook, and she randomly reached out to me. We connected over the phone, and she just said, "I was praying the other day, and you came in my heart," and we've truly connected. I really feel like it's a destiny friendship. I feel like God brought us together for a reason, for lots of different reasons, exciting reasons. And so she was obedient in that. She was looking ahead. You see, we all have a specific lane that we need to stay in. So if we're focusing on our mirror that looks behind us, or if we're focusing on the lane beside us of what somebody else is doing, we're going to get distracted. We're going to swerve. We're going to miss our exit. It is about allowing God's Spirit to come into you, to transform your life, so you know your specific journey, your specific purpose. You've got to be in the Word. You've got to allow God to make all things new. Question number three, have you ever allowed God to break the chains of your sins of the past? I've already said, without sin, there's no need for God's grace. If you turn to page 98, oh my goodness, I like literally highlighted every single sentence on page 98 and 99. Listen to this. Just listen to her words. Close your eyes. First, God doesn't live in the past because God, your God, exists outside of time. To him, the past that so haunts and hamstrings you, the past that so ruffles and frustrates you, is not in the past at all. In prayer, you're alone with the God who sees you only as you are and always have been since that beautiful moment when you placed faith in him. The moment the holy, righteous, and blameless past, present, and future, when you committed your life to him, that is what God sees. He forgives your guilt. He removes your shame. He declares his work and establish all the time fact. Prayer does a complete end run around Satan's pitiful accusations, ushering us into an eternal realm with God where the past doesn't even compute. You see, in our earthly minds, we think God sees us as a certain way. Oh, God sees me as filth. All he sees is a sin, or he's condemning me, or he's punishing me, or I'm too dirty to come to a holy God. I'm too dirty to walk into a church or go down to an altar or walk into a Sunday school class or a small group or a Bible study. I've sinned too much. I'm not good enough. You see, that is Satan's lies. That is allowing your past or your weaknesses or your decisions to define your destiny, because it's dictating your daily decisions. And so just like she said here, see, we have a God that exists outside of time. So when we come to him, all he sees is someone that said yes to him. When he said, "Ashley Shepherd, it is time to come to me." And when I said yes to him, that was the moment that I become his child. You see, I have Jesus in my heart. So if you've never done that, do it. Ask God to come into your heart. Believe in him. Let him into your heart so you can allow him to transform and completely cripple Satan's lies and his whispers to you. Page 99, again, one of the qualities that makes the gospel so real and so great is that it doesn't eliminate our past, but just so thoroughly deals with it. You see, God forgives it. He changes it. He transforms all that mess into this huge mountain of grace that only takes us higher and closer to him. So now, instead of being a reason for endless shame, guilt, and regret, our past is a reason for endless worship and free-flowing testimony. I'll never forget in 2010, maybe 2010, 2011, my anxiety attacks came back. You see, I have dealt with anxiety attacks since I was in middle school. I'll never forget the very first one. I couldn't breathe. I had stress as a young child. I kept it to myself. And I'll never forget when those anxiety attacks started to come back. And I remember one in particular. I was sitting in the bathroom floor just... I couldn't breathe. My heart was beating fast. My husband was trying to wrap his arms around me, which made me feel trapped, which made it worse. And I remember thinking in my head, this is awful. I can't even get it together. I don't want to, I wanted to keep it to myself. I never wanted to tell anybody that moment of mascara running down my eyes. My husband trying to like force hold me because, you know, he probably thought I was crazy and I couldn't breathe and I couldn't stop crying. I was overwhelmed. My thoughts were crazy. You know, I didn't know what was going on. And all I kept thinking is just felt shame. I felt what? Out of control almost. And it's believing the enemy's lies year after year that I was useless. I had no value. He couldn't use me. I don't have a testimony. I have no gifts. I have no talents. You can't get that job, Ashley. You don't have that. You're not talented enough for that. You see, when you listen to those lies and you think of your weaknesses in your past, that's what you walk in. But when you start praying specific prayers to the God who died for us, and you allow his grace to overflow and cleanse all of those fears, all of that anxiety, your past out, then you can start walking in grace. You can start staying in your lane, focusing forward. Don't look sad. Don't look back. We don't have time for that. We have one life. It's time to live it. Okay? It is time to live it. So you better believe I talk about my anxiety. I want to use my past for his glory. You see, I didn't go through those things to keep it alone. I didn't go through those things to just keep it quiet and keep it hidden. Like, oh no, I have to have it all together. This perfect Ashley Shepherd that has two beautiful boys and a hot husband that lives in Maryville, Tennessee. And, you know, she has it all together. No. Just yesterday, I had to take deep breaths because I felt anxiety coming in. My husband is so sweet. He actually got me a hour massage because I've been so busy and I never get massages. And so there's a place right down from our house. And so he said, go get a massage. I literally laid on the table and I couldn't catch my breath. You see, anxiety started happening. I wasn't going through anything bad. I wasn't really stressed. I was overwhelmed and busy. And I had just a plate full of everything the last couple days. And so what happened was when I laid down, I could feel my heart beating and I couldn't relax. My mind wouldn't stop. And I just, those deep breaths really wasn't working. The lady starts massaging my back and I'm like, why am I not like settling down? Why is my heart not settling down? And I started to pray. Not out loud because I don't want to freak the lady out. But I started to pray in my mind, Lord, I am your daughter. I'm the daughter of the King. I just pray that your grace just washes over me. Settle my heart. Just settle my heart. And I just kind of said that over and over. And as I did that, my heartbeat slowed down. And I began to have more of a peace. You see that scripture right there, 2 Corinthians 5:17 on your worksheet. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things pass away. Behold, new things have come. You see, I dealt with anxiety. Maybe anxiety is not your thing. Maybe you've had a life full of, maybe you cheated on your husband. Maybe you had an addiction. Maybe you have an addiction. Maybe you're addicted to alcohol, drugs. Maybe, you know, I don't know what it is, but it really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. God loves you. I love you. We all have a past. We're all sinful and it's all ugly. You know, our past is not pretty. We're not perfect. Thank God we're not perfect. He's the only one that makes us and cleanse us. The only thing good about us is Jesus, okay? And so I want you to picture this. Just like you're going forward in your vehicle, I just want to like cleanse the past. I have a very good friend, Leanne Graves, and she gave me this analogy a few weeks ago when I was dealing with people being very negative and hearing things, and it always comes back around. You always hear things that people say, and you know, how am I going to deal with that? You know how I dealt with it is my very good friend, Leanne Graves. I know she's going to watch this video because she loves this ministry and she's such a great friend and supporter. But she says just to cleanse your body of all that negative. You know, it's kind of like a scrub pad. And I just like literally see, it's kind of like if you're doing like a cleanse or or you're cleaning your kitchen or your bathroom and you're just scrubbing, right? You're getting all that, like the grit, that like peanut butter and all that things that stick that your kids do in the kitchen, and you're like, you're scrubbing down, or, you know, maybe you're drinking water and you just, it's cleansing, right? It's just like this cleanse. And so that's what I imagine when I say that God doesn't shame us, he transforms us, just like that worksheet. Recognize the enemy. Recognize the difference between shame and forgiveness. You see, when the enemy shames you, he's going to make you feel guilt. He's going to bring that up like a rerun. But when God forgives you and cleanses us, and he takes that scrub pad and we scrub all that off, it is gone. It is gone, and it is not coming back. Now, if you happen to look in your rearview mirror, or, you know, it happens to kind of come into your mind and your heart, cleanse it off, because you are transformed because of Jesus Christ, and you can walk in that. So it is time. It is time. I told you from the very beginning of this webinar to write at the top, it is time. It is time to walk transformed. It is time to walk in the victory of Jesus Christ. Because the past is the past, and what matters is what the Lord has for us right now in the present and what he has for us in the future. And if you are ready to live this life with purpose, then it's time to pray specific prayers. And I want to end this webinar with a specific prayer. I want to pray one of these scriptures on page 103. I'm going to pray Isaiah 40, 29 through 31. And then after I pray, I'm going to end with a couple announcements. But I want you, I wrote at the top, it is time. It is time to walk transformed. It is time to leave the past in the past. Isaiah 40, 29 through 31 says, he gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. You see, we're going to get weak, right? We're going to get dirty because we're humans. We're not Jesus. So when we're weak and when we lack, he will increase the power. Though youths grow weary and tired and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles, and they will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. We're going to go through things in this life, whether it's from the past, when we all mess up in the future, because we will. We're just going to bask in his grace. We're going to allow him to transform us. We're going to be thankful for his grace. We're going to be thankful for our mistakes. I am thankful for anxiety. Do you know why? Because when I share my anxiety with other women and they can relate, the walls go down, and I can build a relationship with that person, and we can relate to each other, and we can support to each other, and we can love each other. That is the whole point of Beautifully Designed. Without our past and our sins, he can't use us without those things. And we go to a God who doesn't know time, and he doesn't know shame. All he knows is forgiveness. So walk in that. Okay, ladies, that is my prayer for you. Accept the free gift. It's the best gift that you can give. It's the best gift that you can receive, but it's also the best gift that you can give. And that's what I want to give to you on this webinar, is giving you permission to accept the grace of whatever sin that you've had in your past, and to make that decision that it's time now to move forward and walk victorious in him. I love you, ladies. I'm going to pray for us. And then I'm going to end with a couple announcements. Lord, we thank you for our mistakes. We thank you for our weaknesses. We thank you that we mess up. It's going to happen. It's happened a lot in our past, in each one of these ladies' past, and it's going to happen in the future. It just is. We're not perfect. I don't expect perfect from me. I don't expect perfect from these ladies or my friends or anybody, because none of us are. So as we accept your grace tonight, and we choose to leave the past in the past, and we let that wash in your blood, and we sit here and we just cleanse and detox all of those things that Satan tries to bring back into our hearts and our minds, Lord, I just pray that your presence fills those holes that Satan tries to poke, that he tries to poke in our future. You see, our destiny is not dictated by our past. Our future is not dictated by our mistakes. Our life, our identity is who we are in you. And you wash us, you transform us, and we want to walk in that. So I pray that each day that we walk, Lord, that you gently remind us of this moment, because we're going to have different moments where we're going to look back too long, or we're going to look over too long at someone else. I pray that you remind us that you have a specific path for each of us, and it's time to look forward, and it's time to allow your grace in our lives. But I pray, Lord, that we also give grace to others, because more people are going to hurt us in our life. We live in a fallen world. It's the reality. So as maybe we get punched with from other people, or we get hurt, or somebody talks about us, or maybe we get hurt in even a bigger way from our spouse, our mom, our dad, our kids, or close friends, or close family. You know, people all around us will always hurt us. Man will always fail us, but we know you never will. And that is why we depend on you. That is why we need your grace. That is why we need your love. That is why we need your word. So we are continually reminded that you are the only one that we depend on, because we know everyone else, and including ourselves, will always fail. We need you to look forward. We need you to walk in our purpose. We need to continue to find our identity to where we can walk victorious, Lord. Thank you for this amazing book. Thank you for these ladies. And thank you for the opportunity to learn and grow and recognize where the enemy is trying to poke those holes. Lord, I pray that you fill those holes with your love and your grace. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Just a few announcements. I'm excited about chapter 6. It's fears. May or may not talk about anxiety again, right? We're talking about fears. I know it's an incredible chapter. So get excited about diving into that. And just a reminder about, you know, the prayer forums that we post every single morning. We post a chance for you to write your prayer request for that day. Or if you want to go to beautifullydesigned.com and click prayer, you can privately put your prayer request, and that will only go to our ministry team. So it's super private, and we specifically pray for those. If you put an email address, we'll email some prayers and some scriptures back to you. So keep that in mind. You can do that anytime. And also be excited, because we are planning and praying over the 2017 Beautifully Designed Women's Conference. And we are working out all of the details of that. And so I hope that excites you, because I really feel like God is calling us to have more and more opportunities to gather, to connect, and to worship him. So you guys be blessed. And I pray, I continue to pray over you. And I pray that today you choose to walk in his grace. Y'all be blessed.